Jerry Doyle Show.
What's sexy about the middle? You got a middle name, right? You got middle management. Some people have reached middle age. You got the middle innings of a baseball game. There's an OK TV show called The Middle. What's sexy about the middle? The middle's never been sexy. I never thought about the middle being sexy until I read the latest piece from Anita Finley, our guest, author, actress, blogger, EpicTimes.com contributor. Her book, Dirty Words on Clean Skin, by the way, Spesson's Women in Politics list. Her latest at EpicTimes.com, The Sexy New Center in Politics, Millennials, and the Oncoming Populist Wave. Who knew, Anita Finley, that the middle could be sexy?
Sexy now, baby. That's what I'm telling you. How are you, Jerry?
I'm doing good, but it hit me when I was reading your piece that there really has been nothing sexy about the middle where most of the country resides, right? I mean, like, you're a former Democrat, now independent, a self-avowed feminist. I'm a former Republican, now independent, self-avowed lunatic. But, you know, we're meeting in the middle with all these people that either used to be somewhere or have no place to go. And you're saying that that movement or that amassing of those people, us, and this oncoming populist wave is actually a sexy trend.
I think it's absolutely sexy, because when you no longer give in to the thought police, when you have, you know, you ascribe to your own way of doing things, and you don't feel like you have to always be from column A or column B. I love independent people. I think people who go their own way and who have their own specific set of morals. You know, I didn't learn, forgive me, I don't mean to offend anyone, I didn't learn my morals out of a book particularly. I just grew up feeling a certain way about certain things, and I have my own code that I live by, and it's something that means a great deal to me. I have my own line in the sand. And, you know, it's very interesting. For example, look at what happened with Eric Cantor, the House Majority Leader, and his shocking, shocking loss to this unknown college professor. Nobody imagined that would happen. The guy was drowned by Cantor's cash and his notoriety and so on. Nobody saw this. But, you know, there is something sexy about people who are patient and they just go forward about their business. But at a certain point, they're kind of like, nah, had enough of you.
Right.
They just are willing to exercise their own feelings about who they are, and they're not tied to something specific. Nobody's going to say, well, my father voted that way, therefore I must blah, blah, blah. I don't buy that.
Right. With the issue, I wrote a couple of notes down here as I was going through your piece. With the issue of with global warming, climate change, whatever you want to call it, I mean, there's something, I guess, sexy in the true believers and something sexy about the deniers. But I think most of us, with regard to climate change, if you want to call it that, would have to believe that if I barbecue every day in my backyard using charcoal, it has to have an effect on the environment. It doesn't mean it's going to kill a polar bear because I'm growing up some brats, but it does have an effect on the environment. But that said, Anita, most people, I think, that are in the middle would say that they have the mentality of leave the campground a little nicer than the way we found it. But that hasn't been sexy because it hasn't been sexed up by the media.
Yeah, well, bingo, you just hit on it. That's what it is. It's like the media picks our presidents unless we stop that little behavior, and that's up to us to do. And that's where the middle does become sexy, because, as you know, the elections are not decided at the margins. You know, there's going to be extremes on either side, and they're going to yell even louder the closer we get to those crucial moments. But the people who decide this are the reasonable folk who, you know, they weigh in the balance what is most important to them. And, you know, there were articles in Vox a few months ago, and also Esquire had commissioned these very far-reaching polls. Pew just did a very far-reaching poll, you know, looking at a lot of factors. And some of the, you know, just some of the belief systems of the 51%, because that's about the number of the population, it's 51% consider themselves in that independent, you know, what I call the sexy new middle. Because I think, you know, I don't like it that people always describe them as, Oh, they're the flyover people. Oh, they don't know what they want. Oh, no, no, that's not what it is. But if you read some of these articles that I link to in my piece up at Epic Times, so you can check further into the crosstabs and what is polled and what was asked about, you'll see that some of their beliefs, some of their needs, some of the things that occupy their mind and worry and time, it's not what you would expect. You know, in terms of the middle, you don't talk to them about God and guns. They're big on separation of church and state. More of them believe in getting voter ID than not. They trust Democratic leaders more than Republicans, which, you know, some might find surprising. More majority support a woman's right to choose, albeit, you know, there are varying levels of restriction on that. And they support a raise in the minimum wage. And then there is some more conservative stuff that they support. So, you know, it's really not, there's really no, okay, they fall over here or over here. And I think that's what's so dangerous and at the same time perhaps exciting for us on the ground out here. Because, you know, what happened with Eric Cantor, we're not quite sure how everybody's going to vote.
Right, exactly,
and
yeah.
I think the more that that uncertainty prevails, and certainly you and I, in terms of the kinds of things we always talk about, perhaps, you know, I don't want to say selfishly, because I don't think it's selfishly. I think we're doing this with a, you know, community outreach in mind. But to me, it's exciting, because if it makes the Kabuki Theater, if it makes, you know, whoever's in Congress right now think twice before they shine us on, and I talk about both sides here, and work a little more deliberately at doing their jobs, then so right. much the better.
When you look at the terms today of how people would describe, if they wanted to categorize you or I guess most people would say, if they knew us, if they had to label us, that I would be a conservative and you would be a liberal.
Yes.
But I think that those terms also require further definition. Like when people are talking about the radio show and the affiliate department and they're clearing it on stations, they say, he's a Republican? No. He's a Democrat? No. Oh, he's conservative, right? In what way? So I would describe myself as a fiscal conservative and a social moderate with a solution-based outcome orientation. So even to a liberal, there are liberals who can be fiscally conservative, but socially liberal or socially moderate, that would then also be in the middle. But it, when you label conservative and liberal, it seems as if it's right left, and it seems to be margins right, margins left, more so than where a more complex individual or voter would be in this country.
No, that's very true, Jerry, but let's bring it down to its most human terms. When you meet somebody, you know, very often I think just for people's sanity, very often they meet somebody and they try to pigeonhole them. You want to say, oh, she's forceful, look at the how she sounds, look at the way she walks. You know, you get an idea, you have some sort of stereotype idea of somebody. And I think the media functions very much in the same way, because if they can categorize you, if they know where you live, so to speak, if they know where
yeah.
you live emotionally,
right.
then
right.
they own you. They own you. They got your eyes glued to the TV. They know how to manipulate you. They know how to get your vote. They know how to get your time. They know how to get you pushing the buttons or whatever it is. But if, you know, there was an article that I mentioned by Selena Zito. It was in the Pittsburgh Tribune Review, excuse me, and she was talking about what is dangerous about the oncoming populism that I discuss and that she discusses, is that it's not so quantifiable. You know, it really is sort of a very simple and rather moderate movement, and it is going to be captured by somebody who is authentic and who has something basic and meat and potatoes to say, and you're not going to exactly know what that is. I mean, it's unfortunate in one way for the politicians and maybe better for us, because when you go to a movie, you know, sometimes you'll see a movie open, and it doesn't
right.
really open. And the movie's fabulous. The country's just not in the mood to see it.
Right.
And unfortunately, that happens politically, too.
Right, and it is timing has a lot to do with a lot of way things are rolled out. Luck of the draw has something to do with it too. But I like what you just said. If they know, meaning the status quo, because before you came on, Brad and Jose and I, we were talking about, you know, we get the government we deserve, but we also get the media we deserve. And, you know, we can complain about Fox. We can complain about MSNBC. We can complain about the LA Times. We can complain about the Washington Times. We can complain about it, or we can find a place where we're shopping our information differently. But as you pointed out, if they can label you, if they know you as a label, then they own you and they can monetize you. And they're very good at labeling people for purposes of monetization. And really, the vast American middle hasn't been sexy and it hasn't been galvanized. And when I guess if they don't see a way to make money off it, they're going to figure out a way to whip the far left and the far right into more of a frenzy so that they can make more money from an ever shrinking number of people.
Oh, absolutely. And that's, you know, that's why I appreciate what you are doing over at Epoch Times and what you're attempting to do to grow it even bigger, because that's the point, is to make a place where people can congregate and get news and not feel like, well, we're going to spin it this way or that way. We're just going to share something that's useful for you, useful factual information and commentary, and then you get to go off and figure out what that means in your own life. And
right.
I think that encourages people's freedom and growth. And, you know, you want a place to learn, not scream at each other. I don't, you know, that's why I'm very particular. I mean, I will engage commenters on occasion, but I'm always very careful to be civil, because I think once you lose your civility, I don't care what you think, you have no argument.
Right, yeah. It's you know, I keep hearing people say, we're all going to die. Well,
no,
yeah,
no.
That's a truism. We are all going to die.
Eventually.
But why don't we live in the meantime? And how do we do that? We empower ourselves with the tools that we need to affect the kind of change that we want that make an immediate impact on those very same lives in the here and now, rather than waiting for some political messiah or political cavalry to ride to the rescue.
Well, you know, you can't wait for anybody to ride to the rescue, that's true, but at the same time, we still do live in a representative government, and it is also possible by engaging yourself maybe 1% or 2% more a month. You know, if you send one email to your congressman, it really doesn't take a lot. It makes people understand, because when you say nothing, you are saying yes.
Right.
And that's something that I learned a long time ago. When you say nothing, it must not bother them. Nobody's complaining. So, you know, what I've always said, and some people may, you know, look kind of askance at that comment, I say cynicism equals fear. Because, and fear, by that I mean that a lot of times it refers to this won't get fooled again attitude. You know,
right.
And the thing is that we can't have that attitude, because the minute that we turn our backs and give up, then, you know, then they're running the playground. And as long as we don't comment, because you think, oh, the man, you can't fight the blah, blah, blah. And, you know, then in essence, we are giving in to them doing whatever they're doing. And I think that this really is a hopeful sign, and it's no offense meant to Mr. Cantor and so on. But the fact of the matter is, what happened there really shows you a couple of things. It shows you that all of the money that is ruining politics right now, that didn't help him, because he spent
right.
$2 million talking down the other guy. In fact, what he did was give the guy a platform. So that backfired. That's number one. Number two, there's no substitute for good old-fashioned retail politics, knocking on the door, shaking hands, looking somebody in the eye, and contacting them. And it should tell people that there still is room in this world for, you know, the Mr. Smith goes to Washington. It's not impossible. Nothing is impossible, and that, you know, that is one of the favorite things, you know, that is one of my favorite things of being in this country, is that there still is room for possibility, no matter how much vertical ownership we suffer from.
Anita Finley, with us on the program, author, her book, Dirty Words on Clean Skin, 4 months, number one position, Amazon's Women in Politics list, blogger, AnitaFinley.com, EpicTimes.com, contributor, no need to be redundant there. And an actress, you probably know her from 24, YNR, Young and Restless, Dr. Nora Thompson. Talking about labeling, you do a lot of research. You're passionate. You're informed. You're non-toxic. We don't need to put some kind of a warning label on you there with regard to toxicity. But if people don't like what you say, wouldn't one of the first things they'd say is, oh, what does she know? She's an actress. I mean, so there is a label that goes there, too,
absolutely.
That, oh, she's just an actress. What? Just another mindless Hollywood twit that can only repeat or regurgitate the lines that people give her.
Well, darling, and that's not darling to you. That's darling to anybody who'd make such a comment. It's like, you know, I defy you to look at the research I've done and the writing that I do. And then if you still want to come up with that comment, then, you know, more power to you. I don't
right.
even worry about stuff like that. I had a great story for you. When Dirty Words on Clean Skin first came out, and international press wanted to do an interview with me, and this woman did this big, you know, interview about the kind of media bias that we suffer from and how many sources I had, and her editor, who was in Montevideo, said, oh, what does an actress know about politics? And he wouldn't publish the interview. And you go fast forward, you know, since the book has been published and, you know, the bestseller list, blah, 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 and all the, you know, 150 radio interviews, and I get, you know, asked by, from U.S. News and World Report to Newsmax to whoever to talk about this stuff. And so it's interesting that I built my street cred up. I didn't let myself be discouraged by some doofus, pardon me, who thinks he has my number when he didn't even bother to open page one and find out. So,
right.
You know, this. Let's take this as a cautionary tale, because it isn't about me. Who cares? You know, the bottom line is that when you are given some sort of a stereotyped idea of who someone is, who a politician is, a spokesperson, whatever, you know, don't settle for that. Open page one. Open page two. Read it for yourself and then decide, does that person have something important that I might learn from?
Great new piece, The Sexy New Center in Politics, Millennials and the Oncoming Populist Wave, courtesy of our guest, Anita Finley, the actress from Hollywood. What is that actress from Hollywood? What do you got working these days? Anything you got coming up that we can look for you in?
I'm writing a book, darling. Right now, I'm in book hell.
You're in book hell right now?
I'm in book hell. I'm putting together a book proposal that I need to have ready for next month. So, you know, and you keep me busy writing for you. So it doesn't
take
a whole heck of a lot of time to do anything else. But
always appreciate it. But are you still out there auditioning, or is it that just the dead time right now in Hollywood?
Well, right now it's hiatus. So right now it is kind of quiet. Even commercially is kind of quiet. But I think as we get into the dead heat of summer, I'll have more to report on that score.
Sounds great. Anita Finley, thanks for joining us on the program. Check out her latest at epictimes.com, The Sexy New Center in Politics and the Oncoming Populist Wave, and her book, Dirty Words on Clean Skin, Amazon.com, all major book retailers. Thank you, Anita.
Thank you so much, Jerry. Always a pleasure.
So sexy. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
The Jerry Doyle Show.